Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings. Welcome to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to the No Romance Without Finance show. I am your host. My name is Vernon Muhammad, and I am your brother. I'm so thankful to be on with you tonight, and I'm thankful for those of you who've chosen to join us. We got a heavy topic coming up. We have an exciting weekend, and a lot has been going on this weekend. So I definitely want to get right into it. We have guests on the line, we have listeners, and we are going to have quite a few people who will tune into the archives after this show is over. So let's get right into it. I'm happy to have my good sister on the line, my right-hand woman, if that is a true and appropriate term. But Sister Gidget Muhammad, you know that you are in my heart and in my mind, and without you, most of what I have going on in my life would not be as rosy as it is. So I'm glad you were here tonight. Assalamu alaikum, sis.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear brother. And how are you, sir?
Sister, I'm feeling great at the moment. I'm elated. I'm excited. I'm motivated. I'm inspired. I'm just so filled with a charge. I just got charged up, and I'm excited and ready to do some of the things that I'm excited about. Implementation is the name of the game, and we know that the theme that's being put before us over and over and over again and will be for the remainder of the year is the time and what must be done. We're going to talk some talk today. We're going to have a conversation, but afterwards we're going to make sure that we get some implementation to follow up all of the good things that we say in here. So I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited too, because I have been following the minister's message every Saturday, and wow, I can just say that he's laying it out. There are no gray areas. It's black and white. It's clear that we are in the valley of decision. So it's my prayer that we move forward and we make the right decision, and now is the time. Watching him reminds me of the time before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made his departure, and even though I was a very young girl, I remember that so vividly. So we are at the 12th hour now, so it is time for us to be proactive and do what we have to do for ourselves.
Wow, you can remember that, Sister Gidget?
Hush.
I was around back then, but, you know, I'm trying to think of memories. I can't seem to come up with any memories from back then. I know I was here, but oh well.
Well, I remember meeting the Honorable Elijah Muhammad at the age of 4, so.
Wow, yes. Seriously?
Yes, I remember that, like yesterday.
All right, I imagine that's something you would never forget.
That's right.
Well, good stuff. Well, as I said before, the theme that's being put before us is the time and what must be done. For those of you who don't know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is doing a 52-week lecture series every Saturday in the year 2013, every Saturday, 6 p.m. Central Time, and the title and the theme is the time and what must be done. Is taken from the 103rd surah or chapter of the Holy Quran, the book of scripture for the Muslims, and it's a very short portion of that wonderful book of wisdom. It simply goes, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, by the time, surely man is in a loss, except those who believe, do good deeds, exhort one another to truth, and exhort one another to patience. Now, over and over again throughout that lecture series and over the course of hearing that throughout the years, we've been taught that time dictates the agenda. We've been taught that time is of the essence. We've been taught that time is the beginning of motion, and we want to make sure that what we do now, the ideas and the intentions that we set in motion now are actually in accord with not Eastern time, not Central time, not Pacific time or Mountain time, not the Gregorian calendar time, not the Mayan calendar time, not anything else, but we want to make sure that we're in accord with the creator of all. And everybody who knows me has quickly found out that one of my favorite songs, if not my absolute favorite song, is by Pharoah Sanders and Leon Thomas singing "The Creator Has a Master Plan." So we want to find out where in time are we and make sure that we're doing the right thing, because the worst thing that we can possibly end up having happen is we find out that we are not at the right place doing the right thing when the Creator's master plan begins to take action and begins to materialize right before our eyes. The best thing that we could possibly be doing is, number one, believing that we are a part of that plan, believing that we are in accord with the time, having patience with the process, doing good to ourselves, to one another, and for as many others as we can, and exhorting one another, calling one another, getting everybody that we can to recognize what is real, what is true, and what is actual fact. Because now is not the time to be going off of misinterpretation, miscommunication, misunderstandings, and skewed vision. There's some very, very critical things that is going to be expected of us this year to overcome obstacles and trials and difficulties, things that we face, things that we all are going to face. Everybody's going through something. I tried to tell somebody my troubles one time, Sister Gidget. They was like, man, we all going through it. They just cut me off. Didn't even want to hear what I was saying, because it's true. You know, and I had to think about it. It's true. Everybody is going through something. And even when I tried to, you know, look for a break, and maybe there's a time where I can get mine in, give me some sympathy, everybody's going through something. Every time I look around, somebody's got something that's happening. We all have a difficulty, a trial, a struggle, something that we have to overcome. But,
and sometimes,
I mean,
you can listen to those stories, and they're far worse than yours, and you be saying, you know what, brother, you got my sympathy.
That's real. I had to give a brother a hug one time. I said, all right, brother, you know, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. But I'm encouraged. One thing that is very encouraging is in that same book of wisdom, the Quran, it says, verily, surely, with difficulty there is ease. So we have hope. We have hope. I was listening today. I'm excited. I got to share this, right? As I was preparing for the show and getting myself ready and just thinking about how the conversation is going to go, of course, I listened to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's address from last night, but I also brought it back up to today. I tuned into the webcast, the weekly webcast from Mosque Mariam, where they had guest minister Nuri Muhammad from Indianapolis, Indiana, and he talked about an experiment that was done with lab rats, and I thought it was so cool. I might have it a little bit twisted, but the principle is this. They had these rats or mice, whichever one you feel more comfortable with. They had these rodents, and they put them out there and put them into a situation where they were basically going to drown. They had to sink or swim. And initially, when they did the experiment, they put the mice out there, and I think they only lasted something like 17 hours. They just put them out there until they couldn't swim no more, and they drowned. 17 hours. They survived, though. They hung on. They treaded water and did what they had to do for 17 hours. Then they took some other rodents, and they rescued them and saved them and, you know, fed them and took care of them. And, you know, they kind of gave them hope, basically. And the next time that they put them out there in that situation, they hung on for 36 hours. They hung on longer. Now, they let them go. They, you know, eventually let them go until they couldn't hold on any longer, just to find out, you know, what difference would it make. So you're talking about almost twice as long, their ability to endure, what they had to hang on through, what they had to just go through and survive through, was twice as long because of the simple ingredient of hope. They had hope that there was going to be something good coming to them through what they were going through. That is one thing that we have. Actually, we have a step beyond that, because we don't just have hope of making it through. We don't have hope of is ahead, but given that we are supposed to take certain action, take certain steps, we actually have a promise of success. We are actually told that we are the best and the righteous and the powerful. And if we would submit, if we would fall in line and be helpers in the cause of truth, if we would respond properly when the message is given or when the call of the messenger is made, then we would also be successful with him. So I'm encouraged, knowing that the time might be bleak, the time might be a wake-up call for everybody who's in the mix, but there is something that is essential for our survival. There is something that must be done, and tonight we're going to find out what that is and get to work.
Yes, sir.
So, Sister Gidget, we got some people on the line with us. Would you please introduce the people that we have joining us in tonight's conversation?
Yes, I have two of my beloved brothers that they're actually where one time in my home mosque in Houston, Texas, they have since gone in another direction, but, you know, it don't matter where they are on the globe, they still my little brothers. So I would like to introduce my beloved brother, Bilal Muhammad. Come down front and center, soldier. Introduce yourself and tell us something about you and what you do and who you married to and how I used to cook for you and you didn't show up to eat. Tell them that.
Salaam alaikum, family.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, my sister said, yeah, she did used to cook. And I never showed up, but I was always busy doing something for Muhammad. But first, I'm on a bed with it. But first, I'm on a bed with your open testimony. There is no God except Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Prophet Muhammad, and who raised one in our midst, the one who sits on the right hand side of the Father, the one who is mastering how to use rain, hail, snow, and earthquake. And that one who is whispering in the ears of the most honorable Ms. Louis Farrakhan and putting all of his words into his mouth. And with those words, I want to greet every brother and sister on the line tonight with the greeting word of peace and prayer. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum
salam, sir.
And yes, I was raised up in Mosque 45 in Houston, Texas, but now I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yeah, she really ran me off, but she was trying to fat me up for real. I think she was trying to fat me up for the kill of such, but she was steady trying to cook for your brother.
I used to cook for all the brothers.
But, yes, yeah, so I'm married to a beautiful queen named Sister Layan Muhammad. I got 8 beautiful children. I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And now me and my wife are proud owners of our first takeout spot called Sister's Kitchen in Pittsburgh.
Oh, praise this to Allah. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you, Brother Bilal. And we also have my little brother, Derek, about to get my ex, Singleton, who is, he was in Houston, and now I think he's in New Orleans, Louisiana, and he is also the co-host of Nation Building Presents on Thursday night with me. So come down front and center, soldier. Introduce yourself, sir. Brother
Daly? Don't get shy now.
Where is he?
You're going to be all the silent partner in this equation.
Yeah,
I understand.
His phone
it's okay.
Is
brother
on.
Brother okay,
Derek?
Brother Derek. We're going to be patient with you. We don't
well,
bite,
maybe.
Brother. You can talk. Well, it's all
maybe
right.
Maybe we had to put us on hold or something, or maybe something's wrong with
right.
his phone.
You might not know how to roll with the background noise like I do, but it's okay. We're going to keep on rolling. I tell you what, Brother Bilal, I'm very impressed. I'm proud of you, brother. Let me say it that way. I'm proud of you. When you said you had 8 children, brother, you just blew my mind. I'm telling you, you stumped me. I'm stuttering and whatnot. But the fact that you're holding it down, you're on your post, you're doing your duty, you're taking care of 8 children and a wife. Brother, you need to write a book. I need a mentor. Can you be my mentor?
Yes, sir.
At the fact that you are opening, you said you opened up your first business, your first retail spot. I'm proud of you. Congratulations, brother. Much success. You're in my prayers for all of that. And I certainly want to make sure that during this conversation, we kind of focus and at least bring to light some of the lessons that you learned as it pertained to stepping out there and doing business for yourself. Because quiet as it's kept, the No Romance Without Finance show is actually not about romance. This is not a love show. We're not actually going to be talking about relationships, although I'm going to try to get some good information from you. But the focus
yes.
of the show is strictly business, because 3 years ago now, in 2010, Minister Louis Farrakhan in Philadelphia said loud and clear, I don't know what anybody else heard, but I heard our survival as a people is at stake. In case you didn't know, We are at war, and business is warfare. Those things stood out to me, if nothing else stood out. And if I can't remember anything else, I will never forget that he said that on that day in that place. Then he went on to talk about how it would take sacrifice, it would take blood, sweat, and tears to get accomplished what is going to, what really is going to be required of us to accomplish. Our survival is at stake. Talk to me for a second, if you can, before we, you know, get further into the conversation. Tell me a little bit about. I tell you, I really want to ask you about how you do with 8 children, brother. But let's keep the focus on business. How did you start your business? How did you get into business? And what is it like running your business now?
Well, first, brother, I got it first. Give all credit due to the Nation of Islam and the Final Call newspaper, because what that did, me being out there every day, you know, with the paper, the oils, and the inches of the bean pies, it allowed me to see my people, you know, firsthand, to also be allowed to allow me to be able to accept the word no. Because, you know, black people, brother, they'll tell you no in a minute. They're look at you crazy, cuss you out, and everything. I learned how to endure through all of that, you know, out there, you know, when it was hot, when it was cold, but out there getting it in, you know. And then finally I just walked into a gas station and see the kitchen in there and asked the owner, how can I rent this from you? But, you know, make a long story short, it's really started in Norfolk, Virginia, when me and my wife went to a bookstore. It's called, what was the name of the bookstore? Well, anyway, I can't remember the name right now because I'm kind of nervous because Sister Gigi called me at the last minute to put me on this call. But we started cooking
right,
out of this.
We're going to make it work. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. We started cooking out this bookstore, and then I just came up with the name Sister's Kitchen. And ever since then, you know, me and my wife just was catering for different places. Here in Pittsburgh, she catered for the sisters. And finally, I just walked into the gas station, asked the man, how can I rent this spot from you? He told me to come back. I came back. Told me to come back again. I came back. And finally, he said, look, I'm going to go ahead and rent this from you. I want my check, you know, the first every month. And I see you and your family straight business. And ever since then, we've been open now for a month. And today's really the first day me and my wife had off because I have 3 of my teenage children inside to take our spot now and running it forward.
So you got the fan, you got the youngins putting them to work, huh?
Brother, hey, if they make all men and boys join the FOI, break them off fast, right?
I love it. I love it. And that's beautiful because, you know, they don't even have to worry about being out there trying to fill out applications and solicit themselves, hoping someone will give them a job. They got something to do. I got work to do. I take care of my own. I love
it. And that's what I teach my children, but I let them know at the same time, if you don't want to get up or come and help out in the takeout spot, you will be filling out an application, going to work with someone else, but you're not going to sit up in here and be a deadbeat Muslim. I don't believe in that.
With your hand out.
That's right.
Or even worse than having your hand out is sitting around and accepting substandard conditions. Mediocrity is not in our DNA. I hear my brother Jesse say that all the time. But, that's something that we've been drilled in over and over and over again. We are the backbone, the backbone, the backbone. There's no weakness or crookedness or curves in the backbone. We got to stand up straight and stand up strong. So I love hearing that, brother. I'm so inspired by your story, especially as it relates to the time and what must be done. Sitting back and waiting, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan laid out so clearly yesterday, is really no longer an option. We may have gotten comfortable in our positions or in how we do things up to this point, but if you don't get it in your mind that you got to get some hustle in your step, some pep in your step, get your hustle on, begin to put in place the necessary resources and tools that will work for you so that you can be a greater asset to your nation, to yourself, your family, the cause of truth, we're going to be fighting a losing battle. So we can't afford to be comfortable anymore. We can't afford to not take the extra steps, put the blood, sweat, and tears in that need to be put in. I'm just feeling it. I feel it more than I've ever felt it before. So
yes,
your story really inspires me. Now, you said that it was being out there with the people and doing the work with the final call and the incense and the bean pies. That's another part that stuck in my mind. You know, when you said it, I laughed because, of course, everybody kind of makes fun of the Muslims. They think that, you know, all the brothers who are in the suits and the bow ties do is, you know, sell little newspapers and, you know, incense and oil and got the bean pie, my brother. But they don't really understand and know that they are people who are supporting their family, supporting their lifestyle and creating and meeting their needs off of those resources. Sales and marketing, I say over and over again, sales and marketing are the activities of life. Every day you got to be engaged in the activity of exchange. You got to be selling something. And there's no greater training ground than being right there dealing with the people, knowing that at the end of the day, you basically eat what you kill. If you don't go out there and do it, you're going to be left empty.
You know, Brother Brandon, what's so funny that you said that, because I know brothers in Dallas, Texas, and I was one of the brothers out there every morning, 5 a.m. in the morning, selling fruit bags. I know one brother that bought a house selling fruit bags. It's not what you sell, it's being consistent at what you're selling, brother. It's like I be trying to tell the brothers, y'all then lost all of your street knowledge since you became registered in the Nation of Islam. Okay, you used to sell crack. Okay, take that same mindset that you was using, you know what I'm saying, for evilness and put it towards building a future for yourself. Like, the Father Call newspaper, the Bean Pie, oils and incense, that's a multi-million dollar business if you know how to run it. You know, yes,
wow.
The paper is your tool to get in the door to resurrect your people, but also, you know, your people like to smell good. You know, they want their house smelling good. You know, they like to eat. You got a service. You know, I look at how in the front they were selling the H&G Whiting Fish, but they had a product that the people wanted. It's called supply and demand.
Wonderful principle. I wish that more of us took the time to realize what we're engaged in and actually studied it. You know, it's one thing to talk about, oh, yeah, you know, we eat to live and, you know, we're trying to be healthy and we're trying to be good. And it's another thing to actually study the science of medicine and understand physiology, anatomy, understand biochemistry and what goes on in your body, so that you can recognize the little changes and things that take place and understand what you need to do so that if you sense something beginning to occur, you can make the right adjustment and get yourself back on track. That's the same seriousness, that's the same tenacity and intensity that I would love to see people take when it comes to talking about business, talking about economics, talking about trade and commerce, and talking about what we need to do at this time, because if we haven't clearly said it and stated it up to this point, we need to be about business. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is focusing everybody's attention on, what was it somebody said to me today, land literacy, understanding the importance of owning real estate, understanding the importance of us, not individually, us collectively, groups, communities of good, decent, righteous people coming together and owning property, the land that we live on, number one, so that we're not beholden to anybody, so nobody can come and evict us, so nobody can come and put us out. Number two, so that we can produce what we need to produce for ourselves. That is the conversation that we are having. That is what must be done at this point in time, because we hear our leader and teacher putting our focus right there. And personally, I'm so happy because for years I've been hoping and trying to get people to focus on that. But now the time dictates the agenda, It's time to be about business. Either we will do what's necessary or we will continue to find ourselves under financial burdens and economic strain. And that, from this point forward, is really unacceptable because we know better. We know that we are all we got. We know that our unity is more powerful than a nuclear bomb. And we know that we were told, pool your resources, come together, produce your own needs, and then have a way to market what you have to the rest of the world and make yourself valuable, not just in your own eyes, but in the eyes of civilized people throughout the earth. So with that, we're going to go and take our first break, and then we're going to come back and hear a word from our sponsor, Sister Gidget. Last week, I tried to do a tribute to you and put something on that I figured would take you back to the good old days, because I know that you're a bit of a bama. But today, I finally got it right, and this one is for you. We're going to take a break, and I'll talk to y'all on the other side. Stick, stay, don't you dare go away. This is the No Romance Without Finance show.
Wow.
Break. Welcome back to the No Romance Without Finance show. I wanted to play Sister Gidget's theme song because the name of the game nowadays is Get Your Hustle On. Your survival is at stake, and Sister Gidget, as quiet as is kept, loves the hustle. I'm sorry, Sister Gidget. I had to tell everybody your secret. I held on to it as long as I could, but please forgive me. I'm sorry I had to bust you out like that.
I know, you betrayed my trust. How can you do that? Nobody supposed to think that. They're not supposed to know that. They're supposed to think that I do everything smoothly and that it's easy and it's simple and that, you know, I don't stay up 3 or 4 days at a time getting this done. They don't need to know that.
The name of the game. I almost made a mistake one day. They said I was going to call you Sister Grime instead of Sister Gidget. I got the G's messed up. Sister Gidget told me she had been up for 3 days one time just working. What you doing, Sister Gidget? I'm trying to pull this show together, and then I'm getting ready to work on these cases. I'm like, good Lord, get to sleep. Do something. Take care of yourself. But I want to say that in this context, of course, we know that we have to take care of ourselves. We have to do what's necessary to keep ourselves here because we got a lot of work to do, and we got a big job ahead of us, and it's going to take generations for us to move our nation where we really want to be, where we really want to be. Of course, we know we have to take care of ourselves, but it's going to take sacrifice. There's no doubt about that. The Quran says you're going to be tried with loss of life, loss of property, loss of money. Everything is going to, it's going to take everything. It's going to take being willing to live with giving up or possibly losing all of these things, but that's what it takes. We have to get in our mind that we are okay with what it takes to be successful. Everybody knows I'm a fan of Robert Kiyosaki. I try to mention him every time that we're on this show. He's the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, What Rich People Teach Their Kids About Money That the Poor and Middle Class Don't Know. That's the name of his book that came out in the year 2000 that if you haven't gotten already, I'm hoping everyone will get and read. But at some point, when he started out, he and his wife together, when they started out for a while, they were homeless. They were living in their car. before they got to become multimillionaires. Sometimes that's what it takes. I hear about these, you know, the famous rappers and whatnot all of the time. They got their start by selling their little mixtapes on the train or out of the trunk of their car before they got a big deal. You know, before heavyweight boxing champions got their start, they were just getting in fights and getting beat up in little small rinky-dink gymnasiums, not getting paid anything. But that's what it takes. We're in the mold, and we're of getting to be of the mindset that we got to pay our dues, and we have dues to pay. And regardless to what you face or what you have to overcome, do just that. Face it, overcome it, because on the other side is the success that we want to see. So let me do this real quick, because I was supposed to actually give us a word from our sponsor, but, you know, since I got the hustle up in me, I just got, you know, the hustle Holy Ghost, I guess. I just got all excited and whatnot. I forgot to do what I was supposed to do. But for those of you who don't know, Muslims, your brothers and your sisters in the Nation of Islam, are manufacturing and distributing our own brand of bathroom tissue. If you use bathroom tissue, or if you know someone who uses bathroom tissue, they ought to be using the bathroom tissue made and produced by the Muslims. Freedom Paper Company is producing Freedom bathroom tissue, Freedom paper towels, trash can liners, antibacterial soap, and a whole host of other personal paper products. So visit freedompapercompany.com. Let's begin to get trade and commerce going and establish an economy for our nation. Buy black. If you're already buying bathroom tissue, if you're already buying any of these products, buy it from the Muslims. FreedomPaperCompany.com. Freedom is what you deserve. All right, so now that we got the business out of the way, let's get down to business. Brother Bilal, have you been paying attention? Have you been watching the minister's lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done? He's doing them every Saturday, and he's been doing a phenomenal job. I'm telling you, people don't realize this man is 80 years old, and he has a wealth of knowledge and information. So you've been watching it. What have you been getting out of the series? And in particular, if you caught it yesterday, what did you get out of yesterday's segment?
Well, I got out of yesterday. That's the one I really want to speak on, because I wrote down some statistics dealing with incarceration. You know, and me, myself, I was incarcerated for like 10 years in Texas. And if you know anything about Texas, Texas, you can put a fence around Texas, because Texas got almost 100 penitentiaries. And a lot of these brothers and sisters that's locked up, they're not in there for violent crimes. Like the minister was speaking on the drugs on war, really drugs on blacks, because a lot of the people that's in the prison in Texas, they're users. They wasn't the ones selling the drugs. They were the ones using the drugs. Majority of the prison population in Texas are parole violators, people that get out of prison and they went back for a dirty UA, whether it's marijuana, crack, heroin, however you want to put it, but that's how Texas is filling up their prisons. And then you look at a brother like me. I get out of penitentiary. I did the first time. I did 6 years flat. They give you $200. You don't have no family, no, in some of the places you parole to. But they expect for you to make it, get you some clothes, get you a place to stay, get you some food off of $200. Now, can you imagine a brother getting out of the penitentiary in Texas? Texas don't pay you for working. They give you like what they want to call good time. You did 20 years. You got out of penitentiary, no family, $200. What are you going to do?
Wow.
No, that's why I've been...
That word is recidivism rate, right? That means people get out and they just automatically go through the revolving door and come back in. I see why when you put it out there like that.
But no, that's not the kicker now. Now, Texas, they went from $200 to $100.
Wow. They had to downsize, huh?
They downsized that. But why? Because they know if you get out of the penitentiary, You have no place to go. You can't get a job because the minister said yesterday, white folks can't even get jobs for their own people. So how are you going to get a job?
Say that again. Say that part right
folks,
there again.
White folks cannot afford to employ their own people, so you know they're not going to give us a job. But that's why I'm putting a challenge out there to us in the Nation of Islam to start creating halfway houses for our own people. Because we got to give them a place to come to where we can groom them back into society. Because they don't have nothing for you. Okay, yes, you know, you can go to Texas, learn a trade in a prison, learn a trade. You can get out with a doctor's degree. But hell, you got doctors on the unemployment line.
Right.
Like the minister said, they got these BS degrees, and you know what the BS means.
Exactly.
You know, they have you in Texas, you know, picking cotton. They have you out there picking watermelons and whatnot. So if we can do that in prison, surely we can do it to build our own nation. But first, we got to have them a place to stay when they come home. That's the key to it right there, having them something when they come home.
You know, brother, you let me do this with you. When I'm on this show, it's not, of course, it's all love, you know, because we are all striving to for the same common good, the same common cause. But let me take a not even an opposing viewpoint, but let me hit it from another angle. Before we can say, well, let's have a halfway house for people who need a place to go, I think that's kind of putting the cart before the horse, because not enough of us are thinking about coming together just to take care of our own needs. Imagine this. Imagine if 8, 10, 12 people, imagine if 10 families got together, that number of families got together and said, okay, well, we need a place and a roof over all of our heads. Every one of us have that as a common need. Why don't we go in and purchase a building? Why don't we go in and purchase, find out what it takes between 10 families? Why don't we find out what it takes? If we can't purchase a building, then why don't we find out what it takes to purchase several acres of land? Okay? And even if it's to the level of, well, we got this land and all we can afford at this moment is to put trailers on this land, why don't we all commit that this is what we're going to do? This is how we're going to make a way for ourselves. And we're going to raise the standard from this where we start to what we really envision and what we really want to see. And guess what? We got 10 or 15 or however many families there are, that many trailers. Well, we can put about 2 or 3 or 4 more trailers. Then, once we have our own, then we can look at taking care of and making a way for somebody else who needs to come along. But until we get our act together, until we can commit to saying, hey, you know, it's not, we're kind of ineffective with you living way down there and me living way up here. Why don't we come together in the middle or find some place in this big 6 million square miles of territory that we are on, find somewhere and settle there, just like they did in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or any of the other 60 towns that black people settled after slavery during the Reconstruction period. Why don't we get ourselves together and form a Muslim community, a Muslim neighborhood? You know?
Well, Brother Vernon, let me show you this then. I'm glad you spoke on that in real estate. Because I stay in Pittsburgh with this little area they call Wilkinsburg, up the street from the mosque. Now, you can walk out the mosque door and walk from one end of the South Avenue to the next, and you're going to run into like 15 vacant brick homes. I talked to a white man yesterday. He got a house across the street from me. It's 10 bedrooms. Brick home now, and he wants $15,000 for it. I got a brick home myself. It has 6 bedrooms and a basement. I paid $5,000 cash for it. I mean, I've been putting it out on Facebook. I've been talking to brothers and sisters in various places around the nation. Brothers, just come to Pittsburgh and visit
and see how we can take this neighborhood over block by block. All we have to do is pull our resources together, like you said, but what's holding us back from doing that? That's the key to it.
I'm not going to treat that like a rhetorical question, all right, because that's important. If we can answer that question, then it's no longer a problem. What's holding us back? What's holding decent families? I believe that I can safely say that you having a family of eight children, eight people who depend on you, plus your wife, I'm imagining makes nine people who really ultimately do depend on you, okay? You don't have no time to mess around, and you cannot afford to play games with other people, or you cannot afford to have people around you who are going to play games with you. Am I right so far?
100%, my brother.
All right. So you kind of have a vested interest in doing something like that and doing it the right way, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So keeping in mind the question that you just asked, what's stopping us from doing that? I love to put action items on the table. You know, when you listen to the No Romance Without Finance show, you're going to get some homework. Okay, you're going to get some homework. We got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful body of people, good-hearted, decent people, that call ourselves the Nation of Islam. The order of the day, the time, and what must be done, remembering our survival is at stake, remembering that the push and the move is for us to be thinking about gathering as much land as we can, in a unified effort, of course, but to begin that to some degree, you and me and brothers and sisters throughout the nation are going to have to identify ourselves, identify the people who are really vested in this and cannot afford to lose with this. We got to identify the other brothers and sisters whose families depend on us successfully accomplishing and helping to accomplish this great mission. How can we identify more of those people that we are willing to form tight, close-knit bonds with? Like after today, I can't just be Brother Vernon who did that show. You can't just be Brother Bilal who's down there in Texas who, you know, he was on the show.
Pittsburgh.
We gotta form bonds now, okay? Tight bonds, because if something happens, when stuff goes down, you're going to have to find the people around you who you can depend on. And, of course, there's going to be people around you who depend on you. It would be much better if families got together and knew that you had my back, I had your back. I'm truly looking out for the best interests of your children. And whenever you see my children, you're going to make sure that they're covered as well. That's what's needed in our nation. I would submit, as an answer to that question, I would say what's holding us back from doing that is we have not established those kind of relationships now. So let's begin establishing those. We got to become tighter than glue, because the stuff that we are going to see this year, I was just having a conversation with another good sister. I'm already starting to see the challenges and the trials and things that are coming. I'm already starting to see people getting caught in the wrong place at the wrong time and ending up arrested or ending up separated from their families or ending up in whatever conditions. And without having good, decent people around that have your back, you know they have your back just like they know you have their back. Without that, we are lost.
Yes, sir.
So,
Brother Vernon.
Go ahead, Sister Gidget.
I'm sorry. Did we ever find Brother Derek?
Brother Derek, are you on the line with us?
Yes, sir. I'm back. I had to click over for a minute.
Your Brother Derek, narcolepsy kicked in.
That was a long minute.
it was an economic business call.
Oh, hey, handle a bit. Get your hustle on, brother. I need to play the song again.
No, I'm done. I'm done now.
All right. I'll put the hustle on in a minute. Boy. That's the order of the day, the time and what must be done. Handle your business. Let me stop that. We're not supposed to be talking about business. I really hate that term because, you know, we used to think small. We used to think small. Many of us did, especially when we first came into the Nation of Islam. You know, Brother Bilal, you talk about incense and oils and bean pies and whatnot, but you blew that out of the water. There are people who have been able to purchase homes and support their whole family using that as their business model. But I want to drive the point home that we have to get out of the idea that hustling, as we've known it to be, is actually the science of business, okay? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad made it a point to make sure that we knew that of all the things that we could learn, our oppressors and the oppressors of our ancestors made sure, they wanted to make it a point to never, ever teach us three things, never let the knowledge of three things ever get into our hands. And they didn't just say, you know, teaching about business and this and that and the other. They said the science of business. They didn't say how to scrap. They said the science of warfare. You know, they didn't say how to, you know, how to get a good girlfriend or boyfriend. They said the science of mating. They never wanted us to understand those subjects to that degree of sophistication. So when it comes to business, when it comes to economics, when it comes to finance, all those things rolled into one. We have to get beyond just knowing a little bit about it. We got to make it our business to understand it as a science. Just like we can talk about these teachings and feel great talking about these teachings. We could talk about these teachings for days and never lose a step. But we have to get to the point where when it comes to business, we understand. We understand profit loss statements. We understand financial statements and what they mean. We have to understand what an earnings report is. We have to understand what accounts receivable and accounts payable are and the difference between the two. You know, we have to begin thinking on that level, because if we operate at that level, we will actually be stepping up our game on a continual basis. Once you start playing in those fields and with those terms, the name of the game is continual growth and progress. And from what I understand, what I've been told, that's the aim and intention of the Nation of Islam, quiet as it's kept. We're supposed to be about continual growth and progress. So I got to stop this, Sister Gidget. I just get on a roll. I don't even remember what the last thing that was said. I was out there for a minute. Y'all got to try to rein me back.
I know, and I really wanted you, if you would, Brother Vernon, because I was listening to the minister's speech last night, and, you know, we really need to look at these statistics that the minister provided for us, because sometimes, you know, we get caught up in this fantasy. Excuse me, especially for those of us who may have jobs. We have been molded to think that our country will take care of us, and that's becoming more and more evident of not being true. In part two of the series, Minister Farrakhan mentioned how it is it's a criminal act to actually tap into the funds of pension and Social Security, and now they're raising the age of retirement, you know, to try to cover some of that some of those monies that they have misappropriated. And so, you know, now it's not even really enough money for the baby boomers. So those of us who may be coming after in the next 20 or 30 years, we're not going to have Social Security and pension. And then the minister went on further to talk about the astronomical unemployment rate and the lack of those funds, because in order for people to really grasp this reality, then they're going to have to see the current reality of where this company is declining economically And some people think that their troubles financially, whether they're unemployed or whatever, are temporary. But these are long-term problems. Even the government is saying that the astronomical unemployment rate is going to be that way for a long time to come. And so people have to really accept the condition in order to change the condition or be motivated to change the condition. A lot of people are very comfortable where they are, and the people that are struggling are eventually waiting for someone to bail them out. And I think that, you know, sometimes you got to be hitting the head with the truth and say, hey, you know what? The water is rising and no lifeboat is coming. You need to start bailing out, you know, on your own. And that's the reality of it. So, you know, I don't know if you have those statistics or not, do you?
I don't have those statistics before me. I know that he laid out so much and so many of them yesterday. He was talking about the millions of people that are unemployed, the millions of people black compared to white that meet certain criteria. Brother Bilal,
well,
did you
give you a few of them? I'm
yes.
Gonna tell
okay,
you said that, oh yeah, you know I got the stuff. You know I got that.
Oh, that was one of those kind of questions. Okay, I understand. Sister Gidget, we also have a caller on the line. I don't want to lose the caller. Caller from 225.
Go ahead and take the question. Go ahead and take the question.
Okay, let's do this. I'm going to open up the microphone. We got a caller from area code 225. The microphone is open. Welcome to the No Romance Without Finance show. Introduce yourself.
Peace and blessings. This is Brother Louis Ali from the Southbound Lane, Louisiana.
Peace and blessings to you. Yes, sir.
Walaikum, Brother Louis.
Walaikum salam, sir. I'm actually calling. One, I thank y'all for having this show. And I just had a couple of brief comments. We actually coined the phrase down here, land literacy for all the land illiterates.
Okay.
And we would like to make this as popular as Stokely Carmichael saying black power.
Yes, sir.
Because really, our generation, meaning those who were born after 1968, are primarily land illiterate.
That's
and
me, but that's not Sister Gidget.
Pardon?
I said, that's me, but that's not Sister Gidget.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, that's me. You were saying those who were born after 1968.
Okay. Well,
I was saying
that's
me, but that's not Sister Gidget.
Yeah, and so what we want to do is we want to become land literate because we want to be responsible for ourselves and help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The sister with the statistics, one thing is true is that no matter what statistic you quote, it only proves one thing, and that is that the white man is disagreeable to live with in peace anytime, anywhere, and therefore we want to be separated. And really, Dr. Ridgely's book, Commonomics, Building a Post-Yacoub Economy, is a must-read book for those of us, you know, in the Nation of Islam, because Minister Farrakhan really is the only leader who has ever lived and built a mass movement under the socially engineered system called integration, which is the worst and by far the most filthiest system ever created for man and so-called mankind, because we have lost more black lives under integration than we have segregation and slavery combined. And at this point, every time I hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, it just makes me have so much hope, because he is forging a way for us to separate from our open enemy and constant oppressor. And this is the first time I heard about y'all's show, but I intend to tell other people about it and tune in. And I'll keep pushing land literacy for all the land illiterate.
I certainly thank you for your contribution, and what you had to say is definitely of value. Let me ask you, you must know Brother Andre, because I spoke with him, and he just introduced that term to me today. So, you know, as we are taught, you know, general order is in effect. General order number 4, report all calls from posts more distant from the temple than my own. I had to shout that one out.
Yes, sir.
Land literacy.
We really appreciate it because, you know, the way we do it, and we're in Louisiana, everywhere has its own culture, is we found that you know, it's difficult to get black people together around money or economics because we don't trust one another. It's difficult to get us together around politics because somebody will say I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. It's difficult to get black people together around religion because they argue whether they're Christian and a Muslim. So the minister, in his wisdom, taught us about Medea, and my grandmother was named Medea. And the way we get people together down south is we get them together around food where we talk about the conscious issues and begin to build our own socially engineered system around the table of thought the way we used to do it down south prior to integration. And this is the way we get together and begin to have think tanks or study groups where we start talking about land literacy, which is much more than just farming. Everything that we do is predicated on us having a space where we could have our own sovereignty to begin to take the responsibility to do something for ourselves. We can't do nothing for ourselves as long as we are attached to our open enemy and constant oppressor. If they miseducate us, they mismedicate us, and they're really working hard now, as the minister said, to exterminate us off the planet. So more than anything else, all of the ministers in the Nation of Islam and those of us who have some common sense should be pushing and helping the minister to separate us from this disagreeable people who constantly raise hell and are teaching us to be the servants of hell. So thank you, brother and sister. Y'all stay strong.
Thank you.
Brother, we are in this together, no matter.
Thank you.
What was it? You know, brother, Dr. Khaled used to always say land or label or language. Regardless to land or label or language, we know that there is but one God. We are one, and we're getting to the point where the fact that we are hundreds of miles apart is about to not be an obstacle standing in the way anymore.
Right.
We hear your message. We're hearing it loud and clear. Do me a favor. Say the name of Dr. Ridgely's book once again.
The name of Dr. Ridgely's book is a Commonomics, Developing a Post-Yaqub Economy. And really, I want to make one comment. What we have is an underground railroad of information-safe media houses where we bring certain people who push land literacy and consciousness on our shows, and we're trying to create a nervous system because one of the main problems that we have is what you're saying. A lot of people need to hear this, because we're not connected to one another. We need to connect the dots. So, like, if I have guests on my show and you want access to them, and I've been doing talk radio show for years, but if you heard what Dr. Ridgely was saying on land literacy, I can set it up for you, brother. And when he comes on, if you desire him on, you can call me and we can put it together, or any other guest that I have that you're interested in. And even if you're not interested in those particular guests, we at least are connected beyond just saying assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam, but we don't have a relationship. We need to build our relationship.
You are so right. You are so right. We are singing the same song, and again, regardless to land or label or language, that's about to be another aspect that is no longer a barrier. We are saying the same thing. Absolutely. And I'm so happy to know that regardless to where we are, and even though we didn't know one another, it turns out that we were having the same conversation all along. So, yes, sir, my brother, I'm definitely interested in sharing that type of information. We're part of the Nation Building Radio Network, and we are certainly, I'm so glad to be fortunate enough to be included in this vision that Sister Gidget and Brother Rakim and all the other members and founding members of the Nation Building Movement got together and are building and erecting. I'm so thankful to have this opportunity on Sundays to do this show, because just because of moments like this. Before today, I didn't know you, but I'm telling you, brother, I am yours, you are mine, brotherhood is one, and it is strong. We cannot be stopped now, because we got truth on our side, and we are in accord with the time, and we are doing what must be done so that we can fulfill our portion of the Creator's master plan. So we are definitely going to maintain contact, brother. I got your number now. I'm certainly not going to lose you. So I will be in touch with you, and let's make that happen. If Dr. Ridgely is available, I would love to have him on this show or do a simulcast or however you want to do it.
Yes, sir. I'll hook it up. I'll have Andre to contact you.
brother. Wonderful. Thank you so much, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Let me share this with everyone. Sister Gidget, before I let you do the statistics, I was having a conversation just yesterday, I believe it was, with one of my business partners, Brother Camos, and we were talking about, of course, one of the messages that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us. We were talking about the guidance that our teacher has given us over the years. And I can't remember the exact name of this particular lecture or speech, but at some point, Minister Farrakhan was talking about feelings and talking about purpose, feelings and purpose. And he was talking about that in the context of Allah, God. God does not care about feelings, your feelings, even his own feelings. When the time comes, he will allow hundreds of thousands, and in some cases millions of lives to be lost if it aims to accomplish his purpose. If it fits in accord with his purpose, then it is worthwhile for whatever it takes. We got the saying and the phrase, we think it was coined by Malcolm X, but by any means necessary, I think that started with the originator. Allah does really not care about your feelings when it's time to get done what he has to get done. So we're being told, and the message is becoming clearer and clearer when we think about the time and what must be done. There are some essential steps that we are going to have to take to ensure our survival, because to not be in accord with the time means we are expendable, and I don't think anybody actually wants to be considered expendable. I want to live and be a part of this process for a long time to come. So that's all I had to say on that note. I really do want to hear these statistics that Sister Gidget is mentioning. So Sister Gidget, I'm going to turn it over to you. What do you got to share?
Well, excuse me, on yesterday's message with the minister, he started off by saying that how the Emancipation Proclamation did not free us. And he went on to say how at least 60 towns were erected and established by black people immediately after slavery. And that within 12 years, the black man was put back on the plantation, due to the murder and how they had all of these laws that they incorporated of, how black people could not do equal trade and commerce in America. And so when he was talking about how we, black and white people, are losing, he said that the unemployment rate is currently at 7.7%, which is approximately 12 million people that are unemployed. Underemployed, which means that they're not even, they're not even meeting their needs, their essential needs, is 10 to 12 million people. But he said among blacks, in particularly, it's 13.2% versus it being 6.8% for white people. 7.1% of those black people who hold bachelor's degrees are unemployed versus 3.9%. And black people with a high school diploma only, the unemployment rate is 13.5%, but only 8.4% for white people who only have a high school diploma. And he said that, he went into some statistics about how, our value and our worth is gone down. He said that the actual assets of the average black family is about $5,000. And for those who are earning high dollar salaries, that their net worth is really about $18,000. And that's just for those who may have assets. But this is the value of the assets that we may have. And I told you, I said, you know, only 38%, I don't know if it was on this show or another show, but only 38% of black people own land and property in America. Only 38%.
What's the percentage?
38%. 38. So that means that we don't have land, you know, we don't have stocks and bonds or anything that we have truly invested in. And, you know, a lot of that comes from behavior. And so if we're not being realistic about these statistics and about the time that we're actually in, then we're going to find ourselves being hit with the hard reality, and we're going to be sent into shock mode because a lot of us just don't believe this is true. But this is actual fact that if everything bellied up today, you could take everything you own and you may have $5,000 worth of assets. Well, if you have a family like Brother Bilal, how long is $5,000 going to last you? It's not going to last you no time. Because
that's
right. We don't own anything, but we want what we want when we want it. You know, we want Cadillacs, and we want homes, and we want tennis shoes and jewelry, and we paying everything on credit. And then, you know, it goes into repossession mode or whatever, or foreclosure mode, because we're not going to talk about the foreclosures. I mean, it was ridiculous. The foreclosures in 2011 was 3.9 million people went into foreclosure in 2011.
Wow.
In 2012, I think he said between the year 2008 and 2012, we've almost closed 100 banks that have been seized by the federal government.
Wow.
So the dollar is declining. And so with so many people having their irons in the fire of America as the dollar dwindles, so does the economy of not only America, but all over the world. So this is the reality right here. So all of these people who are in college and you're seeking degrees, it is my prayer that if you happen to finish that degree, that you come out with the mindset of creating business and not trying to go into any other institution in corporate America, because more than likely it's not going to be there for you. It's not there for white people, so certainly our black, our brown, our red, and our yellow people that are coming out of these so-called higher institutions of learning are not going to have an opportunity to work in corporate America, because corporate America is all but gone. And that's just the reality. So I think if we start to really push what the reality is, and it's my prayer that it would be motivation for us to pull resources while we have resources to pull. Because in a minute, we're not going to have resources. And if we don't learn how to build, how to cultivate the land, you know, they say, well, you know, I don't want to work in the field. We worked in the field 400 years. Yeah, you worked in the field 400 years for somebody else, but you won't work for yourself?
Think about that.
This is crazy. And that's the reality. That's where we are.
That's really something to think about. You know, it's one thing to say, to realize the strain. Everybody who's got a job, you know, you're employed by someone, you know that it's taxing to a degree. You go there, you give your mental energy, and sometimes at the end of your shift, you feel so drained, you feel so tired that you almost can't do anything else. But there are many people who push on and work a second job. Well, that's when they go and they start to do the work for their own business. That's what it takes. It's going to take sleepless nights. It's going to take, I keep on going back to blood, sweat, and tears. It's going to take some of that. Being comfortable is not part of the equation that ends up or that equals us getting through this unscathed, or at least us getting through this just in any way intact. You know, that it's being comfortable is no longer an option. If you're comfortable, that means there's something else you could and should be doing. And we've got to get that in our mind, because the reality is, as it's been laid out, we got our eggs in the wrong basket. We are obviously on a ship that is sinking, and ain't nothing nobody can do about that. It is sinking, and I mean, unless something radical and drastic happens in terms of the policy and the way that justice is carried into practice in this land, that's a turn of events that can't be changed or diverted or turned around. Okay, it's just certain consequences that have to come out and be played out. But we who can hear this, who can process this information, the name of the game, particularly, I'm speaking directly to us who are in the Nation of Islam now, carry this whole thought of my brother, my sister, carry that beyond mere words. Saying assalamu alaikum, brother, should not equate to hey, man. You know, it's not just getting someone's attention. It's not just what we call one another. I am your brother for real. If I fall, if something happens to me and mine, you are obligated to help me out. If something happens to you, if you are my brother, my sister, if you need me, I'm obligated to come to your aid and your assistance. When I see a sister who is walking either from the mosque or walking to the mosque in the rain, and I got an umbrella in my hand, I'm obligated to put that umbrella up and run over there and escort her to where she's going. I'm obligated. That's my sister. I got to cover her down like that. I got to make sure that she's covered. If my brother falls, gets sick, and for some reason his family is suffering now, I'm obligated to step in. Number one, because every one of his family members I call either brother or sister, just like I call him my brother. I call them my family. That's what they are. So we got to see one another as that. We are extensions of one another's family. I'm not just Brother Vernon. I am your brother in the truest sense of the word. You are my sister. You are my brother in the truest sense of the word. Getting through this entails us establishing real, deep, meaningful relationships so that we can begin discussing and deciding how we're going to become neighbors to one another. There it is. Just laid it out there.
And we want to hear from Brother Derek, because you know what? Every show Brother Derek is on, he's like a mime at the mall. He is just quiet. Brother Derek.
How are you?
We want your insight. Come on, give us some ideas, because Brother Derek is, I think he's a very phenomenal speaker when he speaks. So, Brother Derek, talk black to us.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, I'm in agreement with everything everybody's saying. The only thing I'm saying that I'm thinking about is that a lot of people know that, you know, like you started, brother, said we need economic development. But who is actually going and looking for land? Who is actually studying agriculture? You know, we're so comfortable with a job right now. And like you said a minute ago, a lot of us just don't believe that nothing is going to happen. We really believe that America is going to be okay, whether you're in the mosque, in the church, and whatever. Because if we didn't believe, we'd be moving faster than we're moving. And that's what I think personally. So we just have, to me, we have to really get serious. And like the minister was saying, he's been telling us for like 30 years, but now it's starting to come down. So now people are starting to get nervous and, you know, oh, what are we going to do? Well, the message had been laid it out before when he was here. He showed us how to do it. And we've sat here, now we just waited till the 12th hour, like you were saying earlier when you called me. And now the time is almost over. And we really going to be in for a severe chastisement because, you know, we can't play games with God. You know, you can play with yourself, but you can't play games with God. He will pay you back. You know, he sent us the message. Excuse me. He sent us the messenger. He sent us the message. and we sat around and did nothing. So, you know, it's almost payday now.
One thing that has always been said over the years is that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad laid out this message so plainly that even a fool could understand it.
Understand, exactly.
And as we're getting down to the end of the show, we're really in the last 12 or 11 minutes or something like that. I want to end on this note. If I can be found doing anything, I certainly want to be in accord with the time and what must be done. I want to be known as, and I want to be in actuality, a helper, a real helper, and an asset and a valued contributor to the work that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is doing. So let me do it in this way. He is relaying a message. He's really, at this stage in this 52-week lecture series, he is setting the scene. He's setting the context. He's laying it out so that we'll have a real serious understanding of where he is going to be guiding us to go. He's going to be telling us basically what the time dictates we must do. You raise the question, who else is, who is talking about the economics at this level? Who's talking about agriculture? What group is actually doing that? And many of the listeners that we have are part of the Nation of Islam, but we also have listeners who aren't members of the Nation of Islam. So I want to say it and say it clearly. There may be other groups that are engaged in this type of dialogue, this type of discussion, but we need one another. We are all we got. And without the wisdom and the guidance and the blueprint that is being laid out by the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we as a people are going nowhere. So the answer to that question is, where do we find the solution? Where do we find the answers? Where do we find the people who are engaged in the work of doing what needs to be done as the time dictates it needs to be done? It's the Nation of Islam. We should no longer be at odds. Whatever it was that was standing between us, why we weren't moving as a unit, moving as one people.
Brother Brandon, I'm sorry. Your phone is breaking up, dear.
Oh, my goodness. All right. It's breaking up. I think I moved around too much. Hopefully, if I stay still, it'll be better. Is it any better now?
No, you sound like somebody from, like a space movie or something.
Okay, I tell you what I'm fixing to do now is
You're good.
That's
right
better.
Now. Oh, I'm good now?
Yes.
That's because I'm standing on my right leg. Okay, I'm going to stay just like this. What I was saying was, whatever reasons we had to be divided, you can be in whatever community you're a part of, whatever masjid you go to, whatever church you're in, whatever other community you're a part of. Anybody got time for that type of division between us? Because our survival as a people is at stake. We got too much to lose to stay divided. And we have too much to gain by coming together and focusing on our common good. Help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan do what he's calling us to do, and that's help ourselves. Join on, let us become one, and let's get busy handling the business of producing and providing for the benefit of all of our people. Every one of us has something of value to offer. Every group, every community, no matter what, let's all come to the table. You might not be the decision maker in the group. Maybe the decision makers in the group don't see it. But a new thing is happening today. It's a new day. Time dictates the agenda, and it's time for us to come together as one. Listen to the voice crying out in the wilderness, because our survival is at stake. We got a couple more minutes. Sister Gidget, I want to let you share with us what the lineup for the week is going to be. We got 7 minutes, but we also have one more caller on the line. I want to give this caller a chance to voice their opinion, ask their question or something. Let me do that. The caller from 301 area code. You're on the line with the No Romance Without Finance show.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Vernon.
Wa alaikum salam. Who's this, Brother Andre?
Yes, sir. It's your brother Andre. How you doing, brother?
This is my brother. That's right. This is my brother. Praise be to Allah. Yes, good to have you on, brother. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me, man. I really love the show, and I'm so glad that you got to meet, at least talk to my brother Lewis, you know, so that one less thing I got to worry about. But yes, sir. But, brother, I wanted to say that, you know, with land literacy, you know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he gave us the blueprint. And in my opinion, the blueprint, that's just the first phase. And of course, the next thing that we have to do is come up with the mechanics. I think that's where we come in at, is the mechanics. And Brother Lewis mentioned the book Commonomics, which I believe is a great starting place for the mechanics. And what he didn't give you was how to contact or how to get a copy of that book. And if I could, I would like to tell your listeners how to get it.
Oh yes, that's very important. Please do.
Yes, sir. You can go to you can email Dr. Ridgely at Dr. Ridge, DRRIDGE at bellsouth.net. And I'm sure he'll contact you right back. That's Dr. Ridge at bellsouth.net. Now, land literacy is absolutely where the rubber meets the road, and I'm just looking so forward to all of us working together, you know, and making it happen. But so thank you so much, brother, and keep on keeping on.
It is, brother. We can't stop, won't stop.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
All right, Sister Gidget, we got about 5 minutes. Walaikum salam, bro. We got about 5 minutes, Sister Gidget. Can you share with us the lineup for the rest of the week?
Yes, sir. Okay. The Nation Building Movement Network, we're on 6 days a week, starting at the first day of the week, Sunday. Brother Vernon, we start with you, with No Romance Without Finance at 6:30 p.m. Central. On Tuesday, we have Out on the Front Line, hosted by Brother Jihad Muhammad out of Atlanta, Georgia. And on Wednesday, we have DJ Black Caesar and Friends. That's a hip-hop comedy show with Brother DJ Black Caesar and Brother Rakim. They are hilarious. And on Thursday, this coming Thursday, we will be back with Closing the Gap Part 3. It will be hosted by yours truly, and I'm going to have Brother Malik Muhammad out of New York, Brother Walter Muhammad, Brother Ivan Muhammad, Brother Gary Muhammad. It's going to be a phenomenal panel once again. And then on Friday, out of all of the shows that I am most proud of, I think the one that is most beneficial to all of us is the study group called Put on the New Man, which is hosted by Brother Student Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. And he is actually keeping up with, we are following the curriculum that the minister has prescribed for us. So the minister has prescribed that each study group in the nation study the time and what must be done. So we are actually on task with that curriculum. And so join us again on Friday at 8 p.m. Central for a study group. And on Saturday, oh, excuse me, I'm about to sneeze.
Bless you.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. On Saturday, we have Young, Gifted, and Black. And that is all of the Nation of Islam hip-hop artists. We have about 5 or 6 on at a time. They come out, they share their new music, they talk about their career, and about 15 minutes before the show is over, they all have to do a freestyle. And so we have inducted godfathers and queen mothers who have been in the Nation of Islam for a long time, that they're doing it worshiping the thing for a long time, so all praise is due to Allah to them. And that's our lineup, Brother Vernon.
All right, all right. We are at the end of a great time. We only got less than a minute. That is the No Romance Without Finance show, y'all. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to Brother Bilal. Thank you to Brother Lewis. Thank you for all of you who listen. Share the link to this show because more people need to be in on this conversation. And to every FOI in the Nation of Islam, tomorrow night, 7:30, your local time, FOI class. It is mandatory. Be there. The minister needs your help. All hands on deck, and as my brother Jihad says, all boots on the ground. Make sure you are in accord with the time and what must be done. Peace.
Thank you, Brother Derek and Brother Bilal. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.